But the biggest need is the gospel. You know, a lot of lost people, Jesus said we'd always have the poor with us. And it is our responsibility to help them and support them. But, you know, we still have the gospel aspect of things. So I don't like to go through a service without getting the word out. I got one. I'm going to try to preach quick to you. It may not be long, but I think it's a good one for us. Kind of a companion message to this morning. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8. And the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put on upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar, and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, it shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. He shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for Dennis and the work he's doing there with his family, his wife, and we just pray for blessings upon them. Lord, I lift us up to you tonight. Help us, Lord, give us victory over our coldness and indifference, Lord, our deadness. Lord, help us to be on fire spiritually. There's a world out here that's dying, going to hell without you, and Lord, and mostly because of us, Lord, that we're not bold in our witness for you, Lord, afraid to talk to somebody about you. Lord, help us to have a fire, a flame of fire in our hearts, in our lives, Lord. Realize what you've done for us, what your desire for us is, Lord, and I thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, I guess I will preach a little bit. I mean, just keep thinking about Dennis's brother-in-law's church that starts at 8:30 and goes to 5:30 at night, and you'll still feel like we haven't been here all that long. Amen. That'll help you right there. It won't be that long. I got to thinking about that, too, just now when I was praying. I was preaching this morning about that altar to an unknown God. You know, if you had an unknown God, what do you think the unknown God would expect of you? I don't know if I said that when I was preaching. I don't think I did, but think about that there. And so we see some expectations from our God here, and I'll show you how it works. Don't let the fire go out. You know, we had a young guy, it stuck in my mind when we were at Bible camp. He was preaching, real simple illustration, but it was a good one. We had the bonfire going. He was preaching at the bonfire, and he had this point there. They had the fire going, and it was at one size. And, of course, as the preaching went on, he pointed out, you know, when you got a fire burning there, that if you don't keep putting wood or fuel of some kind on the fire, what's going to happen? The fire's just going to die down, right? I mean, you can have a blazing fire, and you got it there, it's great, but it's not too long as the fuel burns up, the fire dies out. When you think about that from a spiritual standpoint, that we have a fire in our hearts, sometimes you get on fire for God. Anybody ever been there? At least two or three of you, right? You get a fire, you get fired up for God, you get excited about the things of God, but anybody ever been there and then had the fire kind of die off? It wasn't as strong as it used to be, right? You didn't feel the same way. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because you didn't keep putting fuel on the fire, you know, and of course, there's a lot of things to it. Part of it is the Word of God, certainly the Word, prayer, but then also serving God. I think if you cut short right there, and we know that we are made to glorify God, we understand that. That we're made to glorify God. You know, we think about, well, how do we glorify God? Well, we understand obedience, but I'm going to tell you what, if we don't do what we are, that God has created us for and saved us for, and that is to be witnesses in this world right here, I'm going to tell you that fire is going to die out. There's nothing like it, nothing. I don't care. You can come in and do service for God in some capacity, lots of different things you can do, and that's good. There's needed things right there, but nothing's going to get you fired up like leading somebody to Jesus Christ, or at least witnessing to somebody about Jesus Christ. We fail at that quite a bit. And so we see in the text that we had here that it was the priest's responsibility. Their responsibility was the altar and the fire upon that altar. And that responsibility is still ours today because And I'll give you some verses in a little bit. The Bible talks about us being the priest today. We don't have a priest like they had in those days. We're the priest. We have access to God. And it's the fire, therefore, is now our responsibility. A couple of places, things that we see right here. I could probably preach a whole message on these few little points I'm going to throw in here right here. But one of them is, we see, according to the text that we just read, they had to do it every morning. They had to go in there, that the altar is a place to be visited every day. It's a place to be visited every day. Listen, church, you know, we come to church. It's a one-time deal, you know, on Sunday a lot of times. But listen, if you just wait for next Sunday to have any dealings with God, to pray to God, to get to that altar and of worship. If you don't have any worship between now and next Sunday, I'm going to tell you what, you ain't going to have much of a fire next Sunday. You put all the wood on the fire today, and I'm going to tell you what, it's not going to burn all the way till next Sunday. I don't care. You're going to have an awful lot of wood put on there. I mean, I'm good, but I'm not that good, right? I mean, the preaching not going to last you. The preaching you get tonight's not going to last all the way until next week. And so, you know, you've got to go to the altar every day. That's a place to be visited every day. And so then here's another thing. We see that the altar is a place of commitment. I mean, these guys had to go. They had to arrange the wood on the altar. It said every day they went in the morning and they got the ashes out and they cleaned those old ashes out. And you know, those ashes, I'll get ahead of myself, but they cleaned those ashes out because, you know, anybody that's got a wood stove really knows about this. If you don't get them ashes out of that wood stove, it won't burn that good. I remember one time we went to help somebody. They had a wood stove. They said, man, we're just not getting any heat out of this stove. I said, well, let me take a look at it. Well, I went in there and looked. It wasn't a real big wood stove to start with. Had the dampers down at the bottom, let the air in so the fire would, you know, the air goes in and the fire would burn. The problem was the ashes were this deep in the stove. I mean, the air couldn't get in. I said, I see your problem. Dug all the ashes out of there. Boy, got it. Boy, had that thing sound like a jet plane was taking off, man. I mean, it started heating up. It started working. And so it's a place of commitment where you need to do things, and there's a lot of that goes with that, cleaning out the ashes. I'll say something about it in a little bit. And then, the ashes, it's also a holy place. Now, I want us to get this straight. It's a holy place at the altar of God. It was holy. The ashes, even those ashes, the burned up remains of the offering were still considered clean. They were still considered a holy thing, that the ashes, when they carried them out, they had to take them out to a certain place. It had to be a clean place that they dumped the ashes. The ashes were even holy. They couldn't just throw them out anywhere. Couldn't throw them out in the road. They had to throw them out in a specific place that was set aside for those ashes that came off the altar, that they were a holy place. So a lot of things that we see in just in that little part right there, could talk a lot more about that. Now, I studied this and about the fire, the origin of the fire, and most commentators agree that the fire that was originally started, that they had to keep burning on the altar continually, was started by God Himself. That God started that fire. I don't know about you, man. That'd be something special. You ever watch the Olympics? You know, they get the Olympic torch and they light the thing and then they run and, man, they hand it off and it goes through countries all the way around from Greece all the way to wherever the Olympics might be. That's kind of a neat thing, man, to keep that fire going all that day. But just think about this fire. It was started by God Himself, a fire from God. Boy, I tell you what, I'd want to keep that fire going. Huh? Now, I'm going to tell you something right here. If you get a fire in your heart, if there's a fire in your heart, it's not going to be started by me. It's not going to be started by some other world-famous evangelist. If you get a fire in your heart, it's going to be started by God. And if it's not started by God, I'm going to tell you what, it's not the real deal. It's not going to be the real thing. It's got to be started by God. And so I got just four quick points I'm going to give you about this fire. And I think, you know, it'll help us along the way as we seek to do what God would have us to do. The very first point, real simple, I didn't spend a lot of time on this. What is the fire, or really what? What does it represent? You think about all out through the Bible when you look at fire. Remember Moses was out in the desert place and he kind of looked up on the mountain there and he saw a bush that was burning and it was burning and the bush wasn't consumed. And he walked up to that bush and God spoke to him out of that fiery bush right there. And he said, Moses, I want you to take your shoes off because you're standing on holy ground. Now, there's a lot of lessons in there right there. I'm going to tell you one of them is you can't come before God just any old way. I mean, you know, you got to be a little bit of preparation that's going on. You got to realize you're standing before a holy God. And Moses couldn't come just in wearing just whatever he wanted to wear. He had to come, you know, according to what God would dictate. But it was God that was in the bush, that God was represented by a fiery burning bush that, you know, and the bush wasn't consumed. I think that's an important thing. When Moses led the people through the wilderness, they were led by a pillar of a cloud by day, but it said they were led by a pillar of fire by night. Well, guess who was leading the people of Israel through the wilderness? It was God. I mean, so we see God. You're getting it, right? I mean, I know it, we have to struggle sometimes, but we're getting the picture here, right? That the fire represents God himself. A lot of times it did in the Bible. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the law, the tablets, the Ten Commandments from God, the people stood down and looked, and they said the mountain, the top of the mountain was in fire, and Moses was up there. Matter of fact, they didn't even want to go. They said, Moses, you go up there and find out what God's got to say. You come back and tell us, because it was kind of scary looking up there. A lot of thunder and lightning, and there was fire, so it represented God. We think about Elijah when he went up against the all those prophets, 450 prophets of Baal and 400 other false prophets. When he went up there, remember they called on, I was just to go good with this morning's message, they called on their gods. They were false gods. They were dead gods. They couldn't do anything. And, you know, they just prayed and they wept and they cried. It said they took lances and they cut themselves and they bled and moaned and they wanted their gods to do something and nothing happened. And then, boy, as the day went on, then Elijah, he called on his God. Well, how did God show up? The Bible says that fire came down. They had poured water, barrels of water. Elijah built an altar. He put a sacrifice on it. He put stones around it. He dug a trench around it. He got them to bring water and poured it on there. Now, this might not be significant to you, but you got to look in the Bible and you'll find out something. There was a drought going on in that city. There was a drought that was going on, and that pouring that water on it, it was a sacrifice. I mean, they were pouring something on it. It was life itself. They poured it on that altar. They gave it to God. They gave God the very best. Elijah poured it on there. But when God showed up, how did he came down? As a fire out of heaven. Man, the Bible says that he burned up the sacrifice. He burned up the altar. He burned up all the water. He burned the water out of the trench. He burned up the stones and he even licked up the dust, man. I mean, God burned it all up. So God showed up. He was a consuming fire. And we get in the New Testament, those Emmaus Road disciples, remember when Jesus came along, walked with them, and they didn't know who he was, and he shared the scriptures. And boy, when Jesus stepped away, left, they said, boy, didn't our hearts burn within us while he spoke with us on the way? Right there, they said they had their hearts burning. That's the kind of fire that we're more than likely going to see. I don't know, God could send fire down from heaven. He could have a bush out there burning, not be consumed. But more than likely, it's going to be a fire that's in your heart. You can't explain it. Nobody can see it, but you're the one that's going to know it. So the fire represents Almighty God. Jeremiah had said that there was a fire in his bones. You know, one time he said, man, I'm so sick of preaching to them people. I'm going to paraphrase this. He said, I'm sick of preaching to them people. They never listen. Nothing ever happens. Nothing ever changes. I can relate to this. And nothing's going on in their life. And then he said, but you know what? He said, I'm not going to preach to them no more. But then he said there, he said, you know, I can't do it. He said, man, that the word of God's a fire in my bones. He said, I've got to preach it. So it was a fire. John the Baptist said that Jesus was going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire at Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit fell on the church, the Bible says that there was tongues. It says like as a fire. It doesn't say that it is fire, but it said like as a fire. These tongues set on every person. Some people like to look at it like this, that everybody's got their own little fire that's burning in their, it should be burning in their heart or burning in their life. I guarantee if you was on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell, you had a fire. There wasn't nobody out there like, oh, you know, man, I don't know what's going on. I'm just dead, cold, indifferent. I just don't care about anybody. I don't love anybody. I don't want to do nothing for God. I don't even feel like being here. There wasn't nobody that said that. I mean, everybody was jacked up about the things of God. I said, like, everybody was jacked up about the things of God. I said, like, everybody was jacked up about the things of God. Boy, man, God, please show up. Just come down with a fire. and I'll show you where to burn them. No, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, this is it. John on the Isle of Patmos, when he was there and he saw the glorified Christ, he said he had hair like wool and he had eyes like fire, man. I mean, he said there was eyes like fire. And so the fire represented God just about every place in the Bible. It represents the presence of God among us. You getting it? If you got a fire in your heart, it represents the presence of God among us. When you got a fire in your church service, it represents the presence of God among us. So the opposite question is, what if there isn't any fire? Huh? Then God's not among us, is he? Huh? If there's no fire, then God's not among us, is he? I mean, that's simple mathematics. The second thing we think, look and see is, whose responsibility is the fire? And the text says it was the priest, and I shared that with you at the start, 1 Peter 2:9. But ye, the ye here is saved people, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That means that it's the fire now is our responsibility. How in the world are we going to go out to a lost and dying world, doesn't know anything about Jesus Christ? We got to tell them about how great our God is, how powerful that God is. We can't get the victory over absolutely nothing. We're always defeated, always depressed, always discouraged, always got a frown on our face, barely make it, can't get to church, don't want to go to church, don't want to witness, don't want to pray with anybody, don't want to do nothing for God, and then convince somebody that they need to get saved. How are we going to do that? I mean, it's our responsibility. That's what God wants us to do, to carry the fire. And we got to carry it to men that are in a lost and dark world. Let me read to you. I didn't put my bookmarker in here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yeah, it's in the New Testament. John chapter 1, verse 6. Real quick, I'll read this to you. John chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That's the same command we have. We're sent to bear witness of that light. Like I said, you know, one thing is, I don't want to reflect Christ. I want Christ living in me and shining through. I mean, that's just what happened with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And listen, man, listen. Sometimes people say, well, you know, boy, what a cold dead. Boy, our church is cold and dead. Nothing ever going on. Well, I'm going to tell you whose responsibility it is to bring the fire. It's not just mine. It's everybody bringing the fire. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. If I got a fire up here, I'll tell you who's going to be warm. Me. I'm going to be warm, but I'm going to tell you what. If you got a fire and you got a fire and you got a fire and you got a fire, I mean, everybody's going to be warmed up, right? You can probably even get a cold, dead Christian, stick them in the middle. They might even get a little bit of it. But, I mean, we've got to have our own fire. I was talking to a church member one time, and this is what he said. He said, boy, he said, that church, now this is a church member of this church, that church, y'all ain't done nothing since y'all built that building on the church right there. I said, that's wrong with you thinking right there, buddy. You're saying y'all, and it's actually you. That's just a commentary on you. You know, what have you done? What have you done to further the gospel or do anything with the church right there? You know, cricket sounds, of course. Nothing there. So we're all part of this. It's our responsibility to keep the fire burning. Now, the third thing, and this is important, how to keep the fire burning. How to keep the fire burning. You know, listen, this is a good illustration for you married folks. I'll kind of get you a little marriage counseling in here along with this illustration right here. How do you keep the fire in your marriage? They got all kind of courses and things on TV and books you can read and DVDs, and some of you don't, you know. I mean, how do you keep the fire in your marriage? Well, one thing is communication. See, like if you come home, or the wife, I'm putting, you know, this is a gender neutral society, right? We got to get it. You come home from work and you flop down and you come in, you walk in the door, how's it going? Go in there and turn on a TV and flop in the lazy boy, and your wife's in the kitchen cooking and all that. What kind of, you think you got much of a fire going? The only fire's going to be going, she's probably mad. I mean, but you know, you have much of a relationship going on there? I mean, there's no communication. You know, you got to go in there and pry something. How'd it go today? All right. That's the end of your conversation. What time's Andy Griffith come on? I mean, you already know that because you watch it every day. You know, you got to communicate. Another thing that you do, listen, you keep the fire burning. This is what they say. You do things for one another. You do things for one another. What was I watching? I was looking at something, reading something. I don't even remember what it was. It might have been on TV. But it was a lady that her marriage wasn't doing too good. And the marriage was kind of struggling in that. But the thing that kept her going was she found in her husband's wallet her name and phone number written down that he had kept in there for 16 years. He said every time she saw that number, even though he knew what the number, maybe it was an old number, she didn't even have no more. She knew something about that. You know, do things for one another. What do? You spend time with one another. You know, another thing she liked to do, well, we got to have a little romance back in the marriage. We're going to do, we're going to take a trip. We're going to go off on vacation together. Do something like that, right? That's some of the things, right? Go out to eat. Maybe it's a short thing. You do things together right there. But you know what? Sometimes in marriages even, folks lose touch with one another. Why? Because they're not doing this. You know, another thing is, do you ever take one another for granted? Yeah, sure you do. You just expect them to be there, expect them to do all that, expect them to do everything. Live separate lives together, just exist. I'm going to tell you what, all those things happen in your relationship with God. All those things happen in your relationship with God. You just take God for granted. Call on Him when you need something. Danielle, can you bring me a cup of coffee here in the den? That's a little joke in the family. Yeah, and then I tell her to get me one too. You just call out to God when you need Him for something, some kind of crisis in your life. You don't spend any time in real prayer. I'm talking about, you know, Lord bless us food, amen. Lord watch over us while we sleep, keep us safe while we travel. You know, it's all like selfish request. We don't spend any time, real time, communicating with God, meditating on the Word of God, meditating on God. What is God? You know, God, what do you want? You know, what should my responsibility be? Those type things like they're talking with God. We don't have that. We come down to church and plop down in the seat and daydream all morning while the preaching of the Word's going out. Like I say, a cursory reading of the Word. Well, I got a chapter read today. Just do our duty. If you just, in your marriage, if you just do your duty, you might stay married, but it's not going to be great, right? It's not going to be, you know. And it's the same thing with God. Just do your duty. Do what's expected. But listen, man, when we get in the Word of God and we got a desire, we sit down, we clear our minds, and we say, I'm going to look at the Word of God, and what is God going to say to me today? Because this is a living book, and it's not. It jumps off into your life. What's God going to say to me? What does He expect? What does He want to say to me? Pour our heart out to God. Listen to you right here. When's the last time you sat down with your spouse and you poured your heart out to them just about your life, less about life concerns? I don't mean when you're chewing somebody out and I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, and it's usually a big piece if there's any left. I'm talking about you just pour your heart out about, you know, your own self maybe, what you wish you'd done different or do different or wish, and you pour your heart out about, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, pouring your heart out, honesty, and maybe even just confession about we all could have been a better spouse, right? When's the last time you've done that? Boy, that'd go a long way in helping your marriage relationship. And I'm going to tell you what, it'd go a long way helping your relationship with God. Huh? Just saying, God, you know, listen, man, I know I haven't. I've been neglect, busy. Going through the motions, just doing what I got to do, not doing a very good job of that. You know, just pour your heart out to God. Just any relationship. I don't care what kind of a relationship. Go to your employer. You could go to an employee-employee relationship and just pour your heart out about things, you know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, any relationship, it would help that relationship. When, you know, pouring your heart out to God and saying, listen, talking about things and, talking about putting a fire in a relationship, man, this is how you do it. You know, and when we don't have any time for God, it's a love problem. I mean, that's just really what it is. It's a love problem. They said in there that they had to clean the ashes out every day. And you know what it is? It's get all that old burned up stuff. Get all that old stuff that's burned and gone. It's dead. It's not any good for anything. It's from past fires. Take it out. Get it out. Just take it out. There's a lot of stuff in our lives that needs to just be carried out. Get it out. Clean it out. Man, your stove. Well, I got a stove with the doors and the glass and all on it. And it gets ashes. Get up there and I'll finally say, man, I get my bucket in there, and boy, I clean that thing out really good, get it all down, and I'll even clean the glass off so I can see the fire really good. I like to watch it. Boy, and that's the best fire. The best fire, boy, after you get it rolling is one right after you got all the ashes out and you got the door cleaned off where you can see the thing, man, it's all bright. You can turn all the lights off in the den, it lights up the whole room. That's the best fire. Clean them ashes out. Get it out of there. And then the last point. Why do we keep the fire burning, or why should we keep the fire burning? Maybe I can put it that way. I probably put, why do we keep the fire burning? You know, keeping that fire burning, those priests had to keep it. You know, just think about this. Every day they had to clean the ashes out every day. They had to put the fuel on, put the wood on there every day, keep the fire burning. Don't you know that there was some monotonous days of every day going down, huh? I got to get that ashes out. I got to get that fire burning. And after, you know, week in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month. Don't you think there was some times that they didn't feel like doing that? But that's the fire of God. That was the fire of God. They said, man, I've got to do it. I've just got to do it. Have you ever had something in your life that you had to do it? You might not have felt like it. I used to say this about, you know, if you want to be a dairy farmer, you got to love dairy farming. Because I'm going to tell you what, you don't call in sick on them dairy cows. Them udders will get big and they'll blow up. I don't care if you got the flu, sore throat, dizzy. What you got to do it, or somebody's got to do it. Hurricane, tornado, snow, rain, it doesn't matter. You got to go milk them cows. You got to love. And anybody I've ever known that's been in dairy a long time, they said, man, I just love it. You have to love it. And there was times these guys didn't want to go down there. I'm sure there was times they'd rather not gone down and fooled with the fire. But, you know, listen, they said, Jewish scholars say, you know how long they kept that fire burning? Over 1,000 years. The fire of God, they kept it burning over 1,000 years. I think that, man, that would have been so cool. But, you know, we get jaded with anything. But at first, to me, I mean, you go down there and say, here's a fire burning. We've been keeping it going. But God actually started that first fire. Huh? That's unreal. Over 1,000 years they kept it burning. They did it until the temple and all that stuff with Nebuchadnezzar and all ended that. We need to keep the fire burning because there's people out there that are still living in darkness. We need to keep the fire burning because we have children. We have grandchildren that need to understand that. And I'm going to tell you, we were talking about this around the table this afternoon. Even in Sunday school, Paul brought some of it up in Sunday school hour this morning. Man, listen, witnessing for Jesus Christ is getting to be a thing of the past, unfortunately, for the church itself, that we need to get out and witness for God. I mean, and tell people about Jesus Christ and push them for an answer. To see you say, hey, you know, what, have you ever, you know, don't leave off the last part of it. Heard a guy preaching about that. Listen, the fire is going out. Children, grandchildren. I told them kids in their Bible camp, we were down there when I started off, and I look around. It's an amazing thing. I think I said something about it this morning. 17 years we've been going to Bible camp. Most of those kids weren't born, or they were very small when we started going. They weren't into nothing about Bible camp. They couldn't even say Bible camp. 17 years, man, and them kids, and so a whole church full of kids, they grow up, and the next year maybe some of them come back, and after that they filter out. And there they were. They kept coming and going. We look out, there's a whole new kid. They didn't know nothing about us 17 years ago preaching to God. All them preachers that was in there. Back here 17 years ago, Gerald Kahn was preaching the gospel. He's dead and gone on to glory now. Dixie Kahn was leading the singing. She's gone on to glory now. But the gospel, we're still preaching it. And keep that fire going. Keep the fire going. Churches like this. And, man, Valley View Baptist, this little church right here, I'm going to tell you something. I know something about the history of it. You know, I know something about the history of this church, man. It has gone, it has struggled over the years, man. It's been small. It's been down to a lot less than this. When we came here, it was 15 people on Wednesday night and 15 people on Sunday night. That was counting the kids. I mean, 30 people at the max on Sunday morning. I mean, man, it's gone up, it's gone down. We've had more than this, too. In my time, we've had more, and we kind of go up and down. Demographics is part of it. But another part of it is because we just get cold and dead and we don't keep the fire fanning in our own life. But you know what? It's still here. It's still here. And so, you know, it's our responsibility. You know, God started the fire, but it's our responsibility to keep the fire burning there. So I think we just need to come down to the altar, carry out the old ashes of the past sacrifices, fan those flames just a little bit. Ask God to stir up the fire. If you don't have a fire, ask God to start one. If there's a spark in there somewhere, man, blow on that thing, throw some fuel on it, and get that fire going. We all need to do that. Every day they carried the ashes out. You can't live on yesterday's sacrifices. You can't live on yesterday's fuel for fire. You got to put fire. You know, when I have a fire all winter long, listen, first thing I do every morning, walk in the kitchen, flick the coffee pot on, and then I go down into the living room and crack the door, poke around in there, and throw some wood in there to get the fire. I got to do it every day if I want to have a fire, if I want to stay warm. You're going to have to do the same thing every day. If you want to have a fire in your life, everyone, you're going to have to get some time alone, then spend some serious time with God. I don't care if you got to get up earlier to do it. Get in there and pray. Have some serious prayer, you and God, and pray. And get in the Word of God and talk to God and communicate with God and have some serious time with Him. Take a vacation with God. How about that? Take a vacation with God. Stir up that relationship if we're going to have a fire. Amen? Let's all stand with heads bowed. Paul, come down.